All right. Welcome in, everyone, to another deep dive from Next Chapter News.
Yeah, glad to be back. We're going to get into a pretty heavy one this time.
That's right. This is, as we always say, you know, forget those quick headlines and those 30-second sound bites. We're going to do a full-on deep dive here.
Absolutely.
And this time we are going back to 1982.
Right here in Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
To the holiday season.
It was 2 days before Christmas.
2 days before Christmas to the Steak and Ale restaurant on Stratford Road.
Just as seemingly ordinary location that was about to become anything but.
Yeah, absolutely. A place where people probably gathered for, you know, festive meals and holiday cheer.
Exactly.
And it became the scene of a pretty brutal double murder.
It did.
So that is our focus today.
That's
to really understand the events of this really just terrible night.
To look at the perpetrator.
To look at the perpetrator, his background, and, you know, really explore the lasting shadow that this crime cast over our community still to this day.
Absolutely.
So at the heart of this tragedy are two young people whose lives were cut short. Richard Adams Jr., just 21 years old.
Recent business graduate from Emory and Henry College.
A management trainee, you know, full of potential.
Full of life.
Yeah.
And then Kim Miller, 24 years old.
A bartender working hard 4 nights a week.
A devout Jehovah's Witness.
And the sources really highlighted her dedication to her faith.
Yes.
And, you know, these were real people with hopes and dreams, you know, and lives to live.
Absolutely.
And their paths just tragically crossed with John Sterling Gardner.
And what's really unsettling is that Gardner had been paroled just 2 months before this horrific event.
Wow.
2 months.
Yeah. And this is something that we'll kind of circle back to, I think, as we go along.
For sure.
But let's reconstruct this night.
December 22nd, 1982.
Yeah. December 22nd at the Steak and Ale.
So the restaurant was closed.
After midnight.
After midnight, yeah.
Richard Adams was still there.
A seemingly insignificant detail that turned out to be pivotal.
Absolutely. And he was trying to balance the day's receipts.
The numbers weren't adding up.
The bane of anyone who's worked in a business.
Oh, yeah. Or been a server.
You're there late at night. You know the books aren't balancing.
The worst.
And Kim Miller was there, too, keeping him company.
She was polishing the brass at the bar.
Yeah, so they're just kind of closing up, finishing their night, you know.
Right.
Not really thinking anything of it.
Nope.
Then, sometime between 12:01 and 12:30 a.m., a knock comes at the back door.
Imagine Kim Miller's surprise.
Right. Probably thinking, you know, is this a colleague?
A late delivery?
Yeah, something like that.
Right.
Just, you know, a normal part of the end of the night.
Right.
But instead,
it was John Sterling Gardner forcing his way in.
Oh, wow.
With a 20-gauge shotgun.
I mean, the sheer terror of that moment, you know, to have someone barge in like
that. You can't even imagine.
Yeah, it's really hard to fathom.
You know, he immediately demanded to be taken to the safe. Faced with a shotgun, Kim Miller, she really didn't have a choice but to comply.
No choice.
And she led him to the office where Richard Adams was still at that desk.
Completely unaware.
Completely unaware of the danger.
Wow, it's like a horror movie or something.
Right.
Yeah.
So Kim grabbed a bag that had $2,696.55 in it.
And it handed it over.
Handed it over.
You would think that that would be the end of the robbery, right?
You would think.
That's what he came for. He got the money. He's out.
You would think.
But instead,
the situation escalated
quickly.
Okay, yeah.
And with just awful brutality.
Yeah, awful brutality.
So Richard Adams, he's startled by the sudden intrusion, right?
He jumped up.
Of course.
And in that instant, Gardner fired a single shot, hitting him right in the face.
Oh, man.
Sources indicate that it was instant fatality.
Wow. It's just, you know, a young life extinguished.
Senselessly.
In a moment of just pure violence. And tragically, it didn't end there.
No, it didn't.
Kim Miller, who had already complied, right? She had done everything that he had asked.
She fell to her knees and pleaded for her life.
Oh, man.
But he shot her at point-blank range in the neck.
I mean, it's just, it's hard to even, you know, it's hard to even talk about.
I know.
You know, it's just so senseless and brutal.
It is.
And then, you know, with the money, Gardner just fled.
Leaving behind this scene of just devastation.
Yeah. It's difficult to comprehend such, you know, callous disregard for human life.
It is.
So to truly understand this tragedy, we need to kind of examine the background of John Sterling Gardner a little bit.
Exactly.
So we already said he was on parole.
released just 2 months before.
Yeah, 2 months prior to these murders at the Steak and Ale.
And this wasn't an isolated incident.
Right, that's what's so disturbing.
Just 5 days before the Steak and Ale murders.
He murdered 72-year-old Ray T. Shaver in Rowan County.
Shot him in the back of the head while Shaver was giving his dog a bath.
Yeah, it's just, these circumstances are so disturbing.
They are.
And it really points to this pattern, right, of escalating violence.
That's exactly right.
Robberies, then a brutal murder, and then just days later, this double homicide.
It seems that he just rapidly descended into this extreme criminal behavior.
Yeah.
You know, sources also mention a home invasion near Albemarle.
Yeah.
Where an elderly couple was tied up and robbed.
Wow.
Also holdups at nightclubs and motels.
It's just, it's hard to fathom.
It is.
And then, you know, what's really striking is this contrast.
Yeah.
After the Steak and Ale murders, you know, Gardner went on kind of a spending spree.
He bought a used Chevelle.
A rabbit coupe.
A St. Bernard puppy for his girlfriend.
You know, and it's just this real stark juxtaposition, right?
It is.
With the devastation that he left behind.
Right. It really highlights this potential disconnect.
Right.
This chilling lack of empathy or understanding of the gravity of his actions.
Yeah, he's out there buying a puppy.
For his girlfriend.
After committing these horrible acts.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, these purchases actually played a role in his apprehension.
That's right. So the turning point in the investigation came about 3 months after the murders.
March of 1983.
An inmate at the Forsyth County Jail.
By the name of Jeff Royle.
Jeff Royle provided information that implicated Gardner.
So that was a huge break for investigators.
Right. Finally, you know, after months of this, they're getting some sort of a lead.
Absolutely.
So they confronted Gardner.
He initially denied any involvement.
Of course.
And he even fabricated a story about this other individual named Johnny.
Johnny.
He said that Johnny was tall, heavyset, tattooed,
yeah.
Drove a big, like, flashy car.
You know, it sounds like such a desperate attempt, right?
It really does.
Just to deflect responsibility.
Absolutely.
But that story, it fell apart pretty quickly.
It did, because he failed a polygraph.
Right, a polygraph test.
While they aren't admissible in court.
Right.
They're often used as an investigative tool.
Right. And I think they can really, you know, put the pressure on a suspect.
They do, because they know.
If they're lying.
They know. And then they feel it.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of unravels.
So on March 23, 1983, just a few days later.
Gardner confessed.
He confessed.
He waived his Miranda rights.
Right. So he understood, you know, he had the right to remain silent, to have an attorney.
Yeah, he understood that.
But he chose to speak anyway.
And he admitted to being the trigger man in these Steak and Ale murders.
Wow.
And he provided a pretty detailed account.
Yeah, it wasn't just a verbal confession either.
That's right. He actually guided police to the scene.
To the Steak and Ale.
To the Steak and Ale.
Wow.
He showed them the driveway he used, his parking spot, the precise back door he forced open.
I mean, that's pretty incredible.
It is.
To have that level of detail.
It is.
And then on top of that, there's a tape-recorded confession.
Where he described the positions of Richard Adams and Kim Miller.
Yeah.
And the locations of their wounds.
You know, and just the next day, even more clarifying details.
They're just overwhelming.
Right. The evidence against him at this point is overwhelming.
And then, of course, you have eyewitness testimony.
Right. From Linda Kane.
Who was a cashier at a restaurant nearby.
Right.
And she really cemented this case.
Her testimony was so pivotal.
It was.
So she was walking to her car after work.
And she heard the shotgun blasts.
And she saw a man running from the Steak and Ale towards a waiting vehicle.
And she later positively identified that man.
As Gardner.
As Gardner.
I mean, the thing that always gets me about these eyewitness accounts.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, they made eye contact.
For several seconds.
Yeah.
Several seconds.
And that is just so powerful, right?
So powerful, especially in court.
Yeah.
When you're looking at the jury and you're describing this person.
And, you know, there's no doubt. In your mind.
Well, dude.
Who it was.
So with all of this evidence,
right.
A trial was inevitable.
Gardner was charged with 2 counts of first-degree murder.
For the deaths of Richard Adams and Kim Miller, as well as the earlier murder of Ray Shaver.
Yeah, so he's facing 3 counts of first-degree murder.
That's right.
This case garnered significant media attention.
It became known as the Steak and Ale murder.
The Steak and Ale murders. So, you know, the media coverage actually became a central point in the defense's strategy.
It did.
They argued that the publicity, it was so extensive that it would be impossible.
For Gardner to receive a fair trial.
Right.
In Forsyth County.
They filed a motion for a change of venue.
requesting the trial to be moved to a different location.
No, Corp.
That motion was denied.
The trial proceeded right here in Forsyth County.
It did.
So it seems like, you know, the defense was really trying to portray Gardner as this, you know, desperate individual.
They were trying to say that the murders weren't premeditated. It was just a robbery gone wrong.
A robbery gone wrong.
Right. They were trying to play up that angle.
You know, make him seem sympathetic.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the prosecution, they successfully countered that.
That's...
They said, no, this is a remorseless killer.
Who escalated from robbery to these brutal murders.
Yeah.
That's how they portrayed him.
And ultimately, the jury sided with the prosecution.
That's
true. So the verdict came back.
Guilty on all counts.
Guilty on all three counts.
That's right.
And the sentence, the ultimate penalty.
Death.
Death. So following his sentencing, he was sent to death row at Central Prison.
He spent 9 years there.
9 years on death row.
And at the time, he was one of 72 men awaiting execution.
Wow.
In North Carolina.
It's a lot to think about.
It is.
You know, and then finally on October 23, 1992.
Nearly a decade after the murders.
John Sterling Gardner was executed.
That's right.
He became the fifth person executed in North Carolina.
Since the reinstatement of the death penalty in 1977.
And in the moments leading up to his execution.
Gardner was reportedly calm.
Calm.
Yeah. And even offered words of support to those present.
Wow.
Including his legal team.
You know, and it's hard to even imagine what was going through his mind.
It is.
At that moment.
It is.
You know, but for the families of Richard Adams and Kim Miller.
Right.
Witnessing this, it must have been incredibly significant.
You know, the sources quote them describing it as a necessary process.
Yeah.
In an orderly society.
You know, and you can just sense, right, the weight of their loss.
Absolutely.
And this long, you know, difficult journey towards what they considered justice.
A journey that had finally come to an end.
Yeah. The Steak and Ale murders really left a lasting scar in Winston-Salem.
It really did.
And it served as just this brutal reminder, right?
That senseless violence can erupt in any community.
Absolutely. Anywhere.
Since battering peace.
The security that we all take for granted.
We do.
And it happened, you know, during the holidays.
2 days before Christmas.
Richard Adams, a young man with a promising future ahead of him.
Absolutely.
And Kim Miller, dedicated to her faith, working hard.
Just gone.
Their lives were just cut short by this act of pure greed.
It's such a heartbreaking loss.
Yeah, it's a heartbreaking loss for our community.
It is.
And I think this case really highlights, you know, some of the challenges mm-hmm. inherent in these high-profile criminal cases.
The media scrutiny.
The media scrutiny, the emotional impact.
On the community.
On the community, yeah. The long process of investigation and prosecution.
Absolutely.
And it's a sobering thought, you know, that Steak and Ale restaurant
yeah.
is no longer there.
Gone.
Yeah.
But, you know, the memory of what happened that night.
Continues to resonate.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. So the story of the Steak and Ale murders, it remains.
A chilling and important chapter in true crime history.
Absolutely.
Just this stark reminder
yeah.
of the devastating and enduring consequences.
It's one single act.
One single act of violence
yeah.
that just changed everything.
A tragic loss of life and a profound impact on the community.
For sure.
And that is why we felt it was so important.
Absolutely.
To really examine this case, to bring it to you.
To take a deep dive.
To take a deep dive here on Next Chapter News.
Yeah.
And as we conclude this, you know, I really want everyone to consider
yeah.
the ripple effects, right?
Of a crime like this.
That extend well beyond the victims.
Families.
And their families.
How does this shape the collective memory
right.
of a city?
Yeah. How does it shape our sense of security?
How safe do you feel in your own community
right.
after something like this happens?
And I think, you know, for Winston-Salem, it's a question that we're still grappling with.
Absolutely.
So thank you for joining us for this deep dive.
Into the Steak and Ale murders.
Here on Next Chapter News. For more in-depth true crime stories and investigations, be sure to visit us at nextchapternews.com.
We'll see you next time.
See you then.